Ask the congregation to stand, please. May be seated. We do want to welcome each one to this service of thanksgiving for the life of Sam McCartney. And due to the current lockdown restrictions, the service, of course, is limited to 25 people. And we thank everyone for their understanding in this matter. And to this end, we do welcome online all those who cannot be here in our service in the church today, and especially for family members and friends of Sam. We do welcome you to this broadcast and pray that the Lord will comfort you at this time and strengthen you in this day of bereavement. We are here to thank God for the life of Sam, and therefore we commence our service with our opening hymn of praise, "When My Life's Work Is Ended. And I cross the swelling tide, and the bright and glorious morning I shall see. I shall know my Redeemer when I reach the other side, and his smile will be the first to welcome me." And our brother has seen the smile of the Saviour, and that is the wonderful hope of the believer. I trust as we sing this today that it's your testimony too. I shall know him as redeemed. By his side I shall stand. We remain seated here in the church, but let's sing unto the Lord.
I shall see.
Let's unite our hearts together in prayer and seek the face of the Lord. Our gracious Lord and our loving, eternal Heavenly Father, we bow humbly and reverently before thee this day, acknowledging that thou art God, and beside thee there is none else. We thank thee, O Lord, that thou art the giver of life. We thank thee, Lord, for the life and the health and the strength that we have to be here in the house of God today. We praise thee, Lord, for the gospel that we have to proclaim in this place today. And we do rejoice, Lord, and we thank thee for the life of Sam McCartney and for the one that you gave as a dear friend to each one gathered here. We thank thee for every memory of our dear brother. We thank you, Lord, for his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, for the faithful testimony that he lived before God and man. And we praise you, O Lord, for the precious memories that this family holds dear at this time. We thank you, Lord, for the years you gave him and for that measure of health he enjoyed for so many years. And we can truly say that we've been blessed to know our dear friend and brother. We do remember the family circle that mourned today. And we do remember especially our sister Sally. And Lord, we do remember the McCartney family and the Gilmore family at this time. And Lord, all those who are connected with our dear brother, we pray especially in this day that they will know the Lord is here in the midst and giving his strength and his comfort that only he can give. Oh Lord, we thank thee for the comfort that friends and family have been in recent days. But there's no help like the help of God. And therefore we leave ourselves in thy hands today. And we pray, O Lord, that thou wilt come by each one and whisper words of peace. And Lord, we pray if there's any not saved, thou wilt call them unto thyself today. We thank thee there is a gospel in this old wicked world. We thank thee there's a wonderful light that shines in the darkness. Lord, there's a hope today, a hope that is eternal in the midst of a world where there's great hopelessness. And we pray that each one will know this hope in the Lord Jesus Christ, saved by his grace and washed in his blood. Hymn writer said, nothing matters but salvation. When the race of life is run, nothing matters but salvation in this world or that to come. Oh Lord, take our mind off earthly things today and help us to realize that God, thou art speaking. Give us ears to hear. Be a blessing to this family circle and to those watching online. And may we know the help of God as we seek to minister in this place today. Oh, meet with us, we pray. Be our portion, O Lord, we ask. We need thee. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. I do want to turn for our comfort to the Word of God today. And we rejoice in these precious words that we can share with you. These are the words of the Lord, living words, words that can give us comfort. Psalm 62. Truly my soul waiteth upon God. From him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. How long shall ye imagine mischief against a man? Ye shall be slain, all of you, as a bowing wall shall ye be, and as a tottering fence. They only consult to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies, they bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense, I shall not be moved. And God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. Surely men of low degree are vanity, and men of high degree are a lie. To be laid in the balance, they are altogether lighter than vanity. Trust not in oppression, and become not vain in robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart upon them. God hath spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. Also unto thee, O Lord, belongeth mercy, for thou renderest to every man according to his work. Isn't it wonderful today to be able to say he is our rock in whom we can trust and depend upon? And then in John chapter 3, verse 14, it says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And then we come to Revelation 21, and the veil to eternity is drawn back for a brief moment, and we're allowed to glimpse a little of what heaven is going to be like. And interestingly, the Lord shares this revelation with us, and many of the things that cause us to rejoice in heaven and look forward to heaven are the things that are not going to be there. What heaven is free from. And we're going to be in the presence of the Lord. And the Lord says, God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their forehead, and there shall be no night there. And they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Amen. We rejoice in knowing what lies ahead for the believer. And I trust that that is your hope today. Our brother Sam passed away peacefully on Friday evening, surrounded by his family in his home. Just 6 months and one day from the day of his diagnosis, he left this world to go into the presence of his Lord and his Saviour. During Sam's illness, there were many medical carers who attended him at home, and I know that Sally and the family are so thankful for the care that he received in this way and want that noted today. Sam's family also, his brothers and sisters, were so faithful in their care of their brother. Daily, they also provided care for him, especially during the nights over the past precious weeks and months. And his brother Sandy was there daily helping with all that he was called upon to do. And I know that Sally and the family especially want to thank him for his diligence and care as he looked after Sam in this way. I want to pay tribute to Sally for the care she gave to her dear husband. And she did everything she possibly could do for Sam over these past 6 months. And her faithfulness and love to him has been that true expression of the marriage vows in sickness and in health. Sam had shared his testimony with me several times over the past year, telling me of how he put his faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as a young man, and how that faith had been a comfort to him over the years. Sam's faith was not in attendance at a church, although he was always in his place when the doors of this house were opened. But he knew Christ as his own and personal Lord and Saviour. He had repented of his sins. He asked the Lord to come into his life and to be his Lord. He spent time reading the Word of God every day. He spent time in prayer and lived out his faith before this community. He often sat in the same place in this building, and therefore we truly can say his seat will be empty and he will be missed. One precious memory that I will always hold of Sam is that after his diagnosis, I read and prayed with him. And after I prayed and said amen, he kept his head bowed and he just said, let's continue in prayer. And then he prayed, placing his future in the Lord's hands, praying for Sally and also that every one of his family would come to faith in Christ. That was a very precious memory for me. And I come out of that house so blessed and so challenged by the faithfulness of this man. Sam never complained about his illness. Not once did he murmur or blame God. And yet we have to say the Lord did give him this heavy burden to bear, but the Lord also gave him great grace to bear it. And we rejoice in this. You know, the measure of a man's faith is his character in the midst of the storm. When life isn't going the way you expect it to go. And our brother simply continued trusting the Lord. And we rejoice in this. We do pass sympathy today with his family. We remember Sally, his wife. And pray that the Lord will continue to give her grace and comfort in the days that lie ahead. We remember his brothers, Robert and Sandy, and his sisters, Sadie, Anne, Hazel, Margaret, and Vera. We would also remember today those who knew Sam as a brother-in-law, an uncle, a cousin, and a friend. We know many of you would love to be here today, and we know your thoughts and your prayers are with the family circle. He lived a faithful life before you all. He prayed for you, and I trust that each will come to know Sam, Saviour and Lord, as your Lord and friend. We do sorrow today, of course we do, but not without hope. We sorrow today, but we don't sorrow without knowledge. We know where our dear friend is, and we know that those who are saved will also join him in heaven whenever we come to the end of life's journey. And therefore, this is a service of thanksgiving for the life of Sam. And the thing that we're most thankful for today is he was saved. That he came as a young man and put his faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is worthy of thanksgiving. Oh, this earthly tabernacle is cast off, and the soul goes into the presence of the Lord. That's hope. That's home. And I trust and pray for you. That will be your testimony also. It's well with my soul. Should the Lord come or call today, I know where I will be. And I do afresh commit this family to the Lord. And pray for the Lord's strength and comfort and presence as he has promised to give in the days that lie ahead. We're delighted to ask the Reverend McRae to come, a longtime friend of Sam and for many years minister of this congregation. And he, at Sam's request, is coming to sing at this point in the service.
Around me many are building other homes of beauty and wealth, but what of a home, friend in heaven? Tell me where will you live after death? Are you ready for that home in heaven? Will you live there when this whole life is over? Will you move to the beautiful city and live with Christ evermore? Are you ready for his coming? Are your sins all washed in his blood? And are you sure, friend of God's great salvation? Will you move to that heavenly home? Are you ready for that home in heaven? Will you move to that? that beautiful city and live with Christ evermore. Will you move to that beautiful city and live with Christ evermore? Cast your care on Jesus today. Leave your worries and fears. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Calvary, oh, come to Calvary. Burdens, they're lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Yes, Jesus is very near.
Amen. We thank our brother for bringing that challenge and song to us and that wonderful comfort. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. As I was praying about the service, I asked the Lord to give me a word for this time, and I believe he has. And it's a verse that's found in Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 29. And it says in God's word, "Oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end." These words are spoken by Moses. And in chapter 32 of Deuteronomy, we have the last message of Moses to the people of Israel. He's come to the end of his time upon this earth. For 40 years, he has led the children of Israel. For 40 years, God has been with him in a very clear way and given him many messages to declare among the people. Moses had the privilege of sharing the Ten Commandments, the instructions for building the tabernacle, giving guidance on how to properly worship God. And as he speaks to this people whom he loves, as he speaks to the nation of Israel effectively, for that's who the children of Israel were, he says these words, "Oh, that they were wise, that they understood this and that they would consider their latter end." And I want to take those three little statements this afternoon, and I trust and pray that the Lord will write them upon each heart today. You see, this is a funeral service. A dear friend has come to his latter end. And unless the Lord comes again in our lifetime, each person here will go through the valley of death. There will come a moment when the soul will leave the body and go into eternity. The place that knew us will know us no more. The outward body will be left and we shall fly away. And the fact that this is a truth, and the fact that this is a reality, and the fact it's coming to each one of us means that we need to be prepared. The first statement that Moses makes in this verse is, "Oh, that they were wise." And Moses wants the people to be wise, to make wise decisions, to listen to wisdom. And I want to tell you today that true wisdom comes from the Lord. He is described as the only wise God, our Saviour, in the book of Jude. We read about the wisdom of God in the book of 1 Corinthians. And in my hand today, I have the Bible, which is the revelation of God to man, his wisdom that has been given to us. If we want to know what is true today, if we want to know what is real today, then we need to go to the source of wisdom, and that is the Lord. He has given us truth and wisdom in his word. What wisdom are you living your life upon today? Are you living your life upon the wisdom of man? The wisdom of man that tells you if it feels right, do it. Things will work out in the end. Man can be wrong. Are you living your life today upon the wisdom of a preacher? Preachers can be wrong. Are you living your life upon the wisdom of a religion or a philosophy? These can be wrong. And there are many people, tragically today, living their lives upon falsehoods. And the message that Moses is giving to this people, oh, that you would be wise. Come and hear wisdom. Come and hear truth. Listen to what the Lord is saying to you. You know what the Bible says about a wise man? It says a wise man will hear. A wise man will hear. And the wisest man, a woman today in this world, is the one who will listen to the words of the Lord. But not only that, Proverbs 14:16 says, a wise man feareth and departeth from evil. And we know what the fear of the Lord is. It is to turn to the Lord with respect to the Lord, in obedience to the Lord. And a Christian is one that fears the Lord. And the Bible calls such a person a wise man. Proverbs also tells us there's no wisdom or understanding nor counsel against the Lord. And maybe you're living today against the Lord. You're living in your sin. You're rejecting God's salvation. You're rejecting his offer of mercy, the cleansing and his precious blood. The word of God says that's foolishness. There's no wisdom going against God. You cannot stand. You cannot prosper. Many today are depending upon the apparent wisdom of their friends and family. Many today are heeding the so-called wisdom they hear in the media, believing that to be truth. But I want to say today, truth, eternal truth, saving truth, absolute truth, is to hear the word of God and to obey the word of God. I wonder today, is that what you're doing? This book teaches truth. This book leads you to eternal life. You cannot get to heaven without the truth of this book. You cannot get to heaven without the wisdom of God or the God of the Word. You cannot have peace with God without the Savior that this book presents. And therefore, I urge you to listen to the truth of the gospel. This is wisdom. Oh, that they were wise. But then he says that they understood this. Understood what? Well, what he had been saying in this particular song, in the opening verses of this song, in verses 1, he says, give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak. Give ear, O earth, the words of my mouth. And you see, what Moses is saying, that when God speaks, it's for every single person upon this earth to listen. There's a message for all here today because all under heaven need to hear the word of the Lord. God has a message for you today. Will you listen? And the message is found in verse number 3. He says, listen, because I will publish the name of the Lord. He is the rock. His work is perfect. And that's the message that Moses had for the people. There is a rock. There is a Savior. There's one who can save you and satisfy your soul. Why do we need a Savior? Well, Moses tells us in verse number 5, because man has corrupted themselves. Man's corrupted themselves. They're a wicked and a perverse and a crooked generation. And that brings us to the truth that we need to learn. That brings us to the matter that we need to consider. You need to understand this today. You need to understand that man is born in sin and shaping iniquity. You need to understand today that your sin separates you from a holy God. It defiles you. You cannot be in the presence of God in your sin. You cannot be in the place of heaven in eternity if you die in your sin. Sin damns the soul. Those who live in sin and die in sin will be found in the place of hell. In verse number 6 it says, do you thus requite the Lord, O foolish and unwise people? Do you live against the Lord in this wicked way? Do you live in your sin against God and expect everything to be okay? Oh, you know, there are many people and they want the health from the Lord, and they want to have a loving family, and that's a gift from God. And they want all the things that God gives, but they don't want God. Is that the way you're living today? And then Moses calls them to remember what the Lord has done for them in the past years. You see, oh, that they understood this, that man is a sinner by birth. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The man standing here behind the pulpit to everyone in the pew, them were born in sin and shapen in iniquity. Born as enemies against God, and in our sin we're walking toward a lost eternity. See, every day that you live, you're walking down a road. And the word of God tells us that those who are sinners are walking on the broad road that leads to hell. Those who are saved are walking on the narrow road that leads to heaven. And friend, today you've already walked down the road closer to eternity. We're closer than we've ever been before. Where are you walking to? Where is the end of the journey? Because God must and will punish sin. There are people today, and I have met people look me in the eye and say, I don't believe that God would cast a sinner into hell. But I have to turn them to the word of God that says God cannot lie. God cannot lie. And friend, God has sent his Son to save you from hell, to save you from your sin, to save you from that judgment and that punishment that lies ahead for the sinner. Oh, that you understand this. Oh, that you understand that there's nothing man can do to save his soul. In our land today, there are many religious people. They're so faithful to their church, but religion doesn't save. There are many good people, and many people who will do anything for anyone. They're good to their society, they're good to their neighbours, they're good to their family. We know them and we love them because they're good and they're kind people. But the reality is, good works don't save the soul. Many people today trying to approach God in their own wee way. But the Lord Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And Moses presents before these people a rock. A rock. And that's significant. Last night in this church building, I was preaching on Christ, the rock of our salvation. The Israelites had traveled through the wilderness to Rephidim. There was no water. They were going to die. And the Lord made provision for them that they might live. A rock was there. And the Lord stood by the rock, and the rock was smitten. And water flowed from that rock and gave them life. And that's a wonderful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, the rock of our salvation. Because upon the cross of Calvary, he was smitten. He was punished for the sins of his people. It says that his work is perfect here. He is the rock. His work is perfect. He has died and done so perfectly, given a perfect salvation that we might be saved. And just as the water flowed from the rock in the desert for the Israelites to live physically, so the blood of Jesus Christ flowed from his hands, from his feet, from his side, that we might live spiritually. And you see, for the man or the woman or the boy or girl who comes before the Lord Jesus Christ confessing that they need a Savior, oh Lord, I'm a sinner. I need to be saved from my sin. And turning from their sin, trusting in him. Lord, I believe that the blood shed upon the cross of Calvary is able to save me from my sin. Those who come to this rock will find salvation. The word of the Lord says in Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I love that word, whosoever. I'm not just speaking to good people, I'm speaking to all people. You might say, well, I've lived a life of sin and rebellion and wasted many years, even decades. How could the Lord receive me? He says, whosoever shall call. Praise God, even that dying thief that hung beside the Savior on the cross, called in the closing minutes of his life. That man did not have time to do good works to earn favor with God. He didn't have time to even to live out his life of salvation. But praise God, he called in time. And the Lord said, today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. And I urge each one in this building and each one listening to me online, do not believe that it will be okay if you live without the Lord. Do not believe that it will be okay and somehow things will work out, or somehow God will excuse you, or somehow you will be the exception to the rule. Oh, that you would be wise, that you understood this, that you would consider your latter end, because hell is filled with souls of those who tried their best, those who went their own way, those who were religious, even people who stood in pulpits and claimed to know the way but did not know Christ. But heaven is occupied with those who confessed that there was nothing they could do but trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and the blood he shed on Calvary for their salvation. That's what Sam did in 1968. Praise God for that, because that day he did what this verse is calling all to do. He considered his latter end. He knew he was not right as he stood before God. That night he bowed his head and he called on the Lord to be his Savior. Oh, that they would consider their latter end. Friend, the certainty of our latter end. Our community testifies to the certainty of death, doesn't it? We've undertakers. We've obituary columns. We've graveyards. As we go through this land, death is seen on every hand. And yet many don't want to consider or think about the end of their life. But the Bible tells us it's actually better to go to the house of mourning than to the house of feasting. You know why? Because in the house of mourning, you think about your end and how it will be for your soul. Not only the certainty of death, but the brevity of life. No matter how long we live, it is short. I remember visiting someone in a nursing home, and she was 101. And I remember saying to me, life is short. Life is short. Those days and the weeks and the months and the years, they went past, they were just a little while. The Bible says it's like a tale that's told and then it's over. A vapor that appeareth for a little while and then fadeth away. The flower that grows up and the grass that grows up and then it's cut down so suddenly. That's what our life is like. And we do not know when we shall die. The Bible says God has ordained the day of our life and the day of our death, the day of our birth and the day of our death. And you may be young today, and you may be in great health today, but the reality is you do not know how long you have left in this scene of time, and neither do I. The finality of life. When life on earth is over, then opportunity to be saved is over. Once a soul leaves the body, there's no more opportunity to get right with God. There's no more opportunity to trust. There's no more opportunity to call. And that's why time is so important. What is life? Life is an opportunity to prepare for eternity. That's what it's about. You see, if you gain the treasures of this world and the reputation in this world and many of the powers of this world and you do not have Christ, then that's a life wasted. What a tragedy of such a life. There'll be no more gospel preaching in hell. No more calls to repentance. As you die, you'll be found in eternity. Without end. And I do want to remind you, dear men and women, young people watching today, that it is appointed unto man once to die. But after this, oh yes, the physical life ceases, but the spiritual life continues. After this, the judgment. Death is not the end of man's existence. Death is not the end. He will go to heaven or hell. And my question, as we bring our time to a close, is how can a person look to their latter end, look to the closing moments of their life without fear? How can a person die with hope and assurance that it will be well for them? In fact, Paul says that it will be far better for them. They do so by dying in Christ. In the epistles, Paul often talks about being in Christ. It's another term for being saved. Without Christ, we're in our sin. But the moment we trust Christ and ask him to be our Savior, the rags of sin are removed and his righteousness is placed upon us. And we now stand in Christ. And those who will stand in Christ are those who look to the work of the cross and depend upon it. They see a Savior who lived a perfect life that I could never live. A Savior who died a sacrificial death. He died in my place. Friend, at Calvary, Christ died for sinners. He bore the burden that we deserve, the punishment that we deserve. He was separated from his Father so that we might never be separated from God. Hymn writer said, he did it all for me. Each drop of blood was shed for even me. When the Savior cried, bowed his head and died. Oh, praise the Lord. He did it all for me. How could I dare hope that I would be in heaven? Only because I know there's a Savior who died in my place. He bore the wrath of God for me. And he gives his word that the sins and iniquities that are removed from our account will never be remembered against us anymore. You know, sometimes as Christians, we think to our past and we think of things that we did and we're ashamed of. And the devil brings up those things and makes us feel guilty. You know what the Christian has the privilege of doing? Pointing to Calvary and saying, my sins are under the blood. The Lord does not require punishment for those sins anymore. But not only was there a perfect life in Christ, not only was there a sacrificial death, but praise God, there was a glorious resurrection. And he was raised again for justification. And because Christ was raised from the dead, that is the evidence and the proof that the work was completed. The work was accepted. All that is needed to be done has been done. This is a sufficient work. And when I think about my latter end, I think about Christ. Because in Psalm 23, we read these words, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. And that's all that matters when you come to the end of life's journey. The family sat around. Sam came to the end of his journey. But they could only go so far. But praise God, there was one who took his hand and brought him home. Christ has been through death, and he can bring us safely through. Isn't it wonderful to say, thou art with me? And I am asking you today to consider your latter end. Please don't tell me about your good works or your church or your reputation, because they have no standing at all. But I trust today you'll all be able to tell me about your Savior, that you're trusting in him. There was a moment in your life's experience when you called on the Lord to save you. And when you think about the end of life's journey, you know it will be absent from the body, present with the Lord. What does this verse say? It says, oh, that they were wise. Friend, be wise today. Listen to the word of God. You can place your trust upon him. Oh, that they understood this. Understand that the Lord says you're a sinner and you need to be saved, and there's one Savior. And praise God, he can be yours today. And then consider your latter end. And if you are saved in this meeting, if you're saved at home, you in the depths of your heart today say, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. The matter settled. But dear friend, if you're not saved, then now's the time. Oh, I'll wait until the funeral's over. No. The Bible says now is accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. If you are not trusting in Christ as your Savior, I urge you now to call upon him. Lord, receive me as a sinner. Lord, wash me in your precious blood. I am coming, Lord, for cleansing. I need to be saved. I want to know Sam's Savior. I want to be ready to meet the Lord. And as we have come to the conclusion of this message, we're going to sing one more hymn. And this hymn was chosen by Sam for this meeting. And it says at the end of your order of service, life at best is very brief. Like the falling of a leaf, like the binding of a sheaf, be in time. Fleeting days are telling fast that the die will soon be cast and that fatal line be passed. Be in time. And that was his hymn that he picked for today. If we could hear his voice from heaven, be in time. We could hear the hosts of heaven who've been there, who've seen the Lord, who've left behind their sickness and their pain and their sorrow and their sin. Oh, the chorus would come from heaven, be in time. Come to Christ. Come today. We're going to sing this, remaining seated. Go out to the graveyard. I would just draw your attention to the little verse that's printed there in the middle of the order of service. John 6:37, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, Him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. And as we visited Sam over the weeks, he often quoted this verse, especially in different verses that he got great comfort from. And I trust and pray that there'll be some today that will come to the Lord with this promise: He will in no wise cast out, He'll receive you. May God grant it even now. Let's pray. Our gracious Lord, our loving, eternal Heavenly Father, we stand at the end of a life well lived. We stand at the end of a life of a Christian man, and we rejoice in this. Oh Lord, we're sorrowing today, of course we are. Oh Lord, we know that the days and the weeks and the months and the years ahead hold their challenges. But we thank Thee, Lord, in the midst of it all, we can look up and know that our dear brother is in the presence of the Lord. We thank You for the wonderful promise: we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Sam has seen the face of Jesus. He's met with the loved ones who have gone before us. He knows more about eternity and heaven and the glories of it than we ever will this side of eternity. But we thank You, Lord, He was prepared for that day in 1968 when He ran into the arms of Jesus and placed His entire hope and confidence and trust in Him, not only for time, but also for eternity. Lord, we pray that those of us who are left behind will be ready. May there not be one missing of the family circle. May there not be one friend whom we prayed for outside of the fold. Lord, remember this dear family. Remember Sally, the brothers and sisters, and the relatives. We leave them in Thy care and in Thy keeping. We pray in days that will be difficult, they'll know around about them and underneath them the everlasting arms of the eternal God. And that, Lord, You will be their portion. And that, Lord, You will be there every step of life's journey. Thank Thee that Thou art the rock upon which we can depend. Bless us now as we go to the burial ground. In Jesus' name we pray. I'd ask the congregation to stand, please.